Chapter 1, Jesus of Nazareth selects James E. Paget. John, the Baptist, is now the harbinger of the Master, as he was on earth. He confirms Jesus writing through Mr. Paget. Received by James Paget, August 10, 1915. I am here. John, I came to tell you that I am now a harbinger of the Master, as I was when on earth, and that he is the true Jesus who writes to you in all the communications which you received signed by him or by his name. I do this that you may believe and not doubt the messages that you receive. He has written to you, and you must rely on what he says, for what he has said to you will surely come to pass. I am the same John who appeared in Palestine and announced his coming. And as I told them what was actually to take place, so I tell you what is actually taking place. You will not only receive the messages of truth which he will write to you, but they will also be distributed to all mankind wherever the written languages of the world exist and are spoken or written. So, you have before you a wonderful and important mission, and one that will do more to make true brothers and lovers of the Father than anything that has happened since the Master was on earth and taught and preached the truths of his Father and did good to physical man. I sometimes have wondered why you should have been selected, as I see that your soul development has not been nearly as great as that of many other men who now live and have lived, but, as he has made the selection, we must understand that he knows what is best, and that his selection must be the right one. As a consequence of this, all we who are his followers in the celestial world are trying our best to forward the cause and help you, and I must tell you that you have behind you in this great work, supporting and maintaining you, more spiritual power than any mortal has ever had before. This may sound surprising to you, but it is true. So, my brother, for such I must call you now, try to acquire a faith in the love and desire of the Father to save all mankind from the errors of their lives and to make them one with him. Doing this will enable you to stand forth as the representative of the Master and the authoritative teacher of these great truths. I am now in the celestial heavens, and I am very close to Jesus in his home and in his love for the Father and for all humanity. I have powers which are great and love which is of the divine essence of the Father. And what I tell you now, I will tell to the world when the opportunity presents itself. Your brother in Christ, John, the Baptist, Jesus of Nazareth, in one of his early writings, tells James E. Paget who he really was, and tries to correct some of the misconceptions that exist about him in the New Testament. Received by James Paget, September 28, 1914. I am here. Jesus, you are my true brother who will soon have the love of our Father in your heart. Do not be discouraged or cast down, for the Holy Spirit will soon fill your heart with the love of the Father, and then you will be most happy and full of light and power to help yourself and your fellow men. Go to your Father for his help. Go in prayer, firmly believing, and you will soon feel his love in your heart. I know you will receive my teachings in the course of time, and you will then see that your understanding will be greatly enlarged so that you will know that I am the Father's Son, as I explained it to you a few nights ago. You can and will receive the Father's love so that you will not need to go through the expiation in the spirit world. I was not conceived by the Holy Spirit, as is taught by the preachers and teachers who are now leading mankind in the doctrines of the churches. I was born as you were born, and my earthly father was Joseph. I was conceived by God's Spirit in the sense that I was born free from sin and error, while all other human beings were born in sin and error. I never was a human being so far as my spiritual existence is concerned, as I was always free from sin and error. But I had all the feelings and longings of a human being which were not of sin. My love was human as well as spiritual, and I was subject to all the feelings of sympathy and love that any other human being had. Do not understand that I was with desires and longings for the pleasures of the world which the human passions created. I was not. But I was capable of deep feeling, and could feel and know the suffering and distress of humanity. You will learn that many alleged sayings of mine were not said by me or did not express my teachings of the truth. Mary Baker Eddy's teachings of Christian Science do not express the true meaning of truth and love as I taught them. She is in error as to the ideas that God is spirit only, a spirit of mind. He is a spirit of everything that belongs to his being. He is not only mind, but also heart, soul, and love. You are too weak to write more. You have my blessing and also that of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the Christ. Jesus is anxious that mankind should stop worshiping him as God. God alone can forgive sin. Jesus corrects a passage in the New Testament dealing with forgiveness. Received by James Paget, December 25, 1914. I am here. Jesus, you are my dear brother, and I will tell you what I desire you to do at this time. You must not let the worries of your business life keep you from giving your thoughts to God in worship and in prayer, and from believing in me and loving me as your friend and teacher, for I am. And I wish to have you do only those things which will make you more at one with the Father and love me more. You must try to let all your thoughts turn to the mission which I have selected you to do, for I have chosen you and you must do my work. As I am the one that God selected to do his work when I was on earth, so you are the one that I now select to do my work by giving my messages of truth and love to the world. I will soon commence to write them, and you must preserve them until such time as you shall be in condition to publish the same, which will not be very long. For I have already told you that the means that will enable you to give your whole time to me will soon be at your command. I do not want you to think that you are not worthy to do this great work. If you were otherwise, I would not have selected you. And this fact alone should be sufficient to make you not doubt that you are a suitable person for the work. Let me tell you now that, no matter what you may think will happen to your business affairs and work, I will look after you and remove all obstructions so that, as I say, you will soon be able to commence your duties. In my teachings, I want to show that I am only my Father's son, as you are his son, and that I am not to be worshipped as God. He is the only God, and the people who are worshiping me in all parts of the world are not doing what I desire. They are putting God in the background and making me their object of worship, which is all wrong and which I am so anxious to have ceased. They must look upon me only as a son of God and an elder brother who has received the Father's love and confidence, and which I am bidden to teach to others. You are not to let anyone tempt you to let your love of God be displaced by any love that you may have for me. Your love for me must not be the kind that you have for him. He is the only God, and you must worship him alone. So, be careful and make this distinction, or you will make a most egregious mistake. I am your own dear brother and teacher, and love you with a love that I have for very few mortals. Why? Because I see that you will be a true follower of me and will love God as I love him. Only I do not want you to think that you are now in a condition that leaves you free from sin or from the necessity of appealing to the Father with all your heart for an inflowing of his love. You must get all this love that is possible, and that can be gotten only by prayer and faith. So, in your prayers, have faith, and the time will come when you will become very close to the Father and enjoy his love to a degree that few have obtained so far. Yes, it is possible and, as I say, it will take place. Only do as I have told you. Yes, I will help you with all my power and love, and you will succeed. Only try to believe and you will realize before you come to the spirit world that God is your Father to a degree that will enable you to live very near him, as I am living. Your faith is now very great, as I know. And notwithstanding the fact that you have doubts and get despondent at times, yet, your faith is there and it will grow in intensity and become so strong that it will never again be broken. Yes, there are many things in my life, as written in the Bible, which are true and many that are not true. I will tell you of these things when I come to write my messages, and you must wait until then. Yes, I did, but not in the sense that it is taught. To forgive sin is only to let the true penitent feel that, just as soon as he prays to God to blot out his past offenses and truly believes that he will do so, the sins for which he would otherwise have to account are no longer held against him. I could not forgive sin myself, for I was not God. But I could tell them truly that God would forgive their sins if they repented. Later, I will tell you in detail what real forgiveness is and what it consists of. As for the healing act which I performed at the pool of Bethsaida, I am reported to have said, "Is it easier to say, 'Take up thy bed and walk,' than for God to forgive your sin?" Well, that is the way it is recorded, but that is not what I said. Actually, I said, "That thou may know that the Son of Man through the power of God can forgive sin, I say unto you, take up thy bed and walk." It was only as God's instrument in showing man the way to his divine love that I could bring about forgiveness of sin, and not by any power of my own. If God did not forgive, I could not, and neither can any man. I know that a church claims that authority, but it is not correct. It has no power to forgive sin or to grant any favor or indulgence to mankind. And its assertions of that power is a mere usurpation of what God, alone, has the power to give. May God's blessing and mine rest upon you tonight. Jesus. The necessity of faith and prayer in doing the work. Mr. Paget is Jesus' chosen one to do the work. Received by James Paget, April 22, 1917. I am here. Jesus, I was with you tonight and heard the sermon, but there was not much said that was very vital to our truths, and I have no comments to make on the sermon. Luther was there also and was disappointed somewhat, for he rather expected the preacher to say some things that might have been beneficial to the souls of his hearers. He will write to you very soon, and he is very anxious to do so. Remember that I love you with a very great love, that you are my chosen one to do this work, and that to no other man has such an opportunity and privilege ever been given, and you must not become a failure. So much is dependent upon the world getting the truths at this time, for men's souls are longing for the truth and are more susceptible to receiving the same than ever before in the history of mankind. So, believe in my love and concern, and permit yourself to get in close rapport with me. I will pray with you tonight, and you will realize some response to my prayers. When you pray tonight, believe that what you asked for will come, and you will not be disappointed. Well, as I told you when I delivered that prayer to you, if you offer that prayer with all the earnestness and longings of your soul, it will be answered. And when the answer comes, these material things will come also, for, when you receive what that prayer asks for, you will then be in possession of the kingdom of God, and these other things will be added unto you. God knows what you need and is always ready to bestow upon you these needful things, and, when you become his true child, he will not neglect to give you these other things. He is more thoughtful and careful of his children than is the earthly father, and his angels are always ready to do his bidding. So, have faith and pray and, in praying, you will realize the wonderful responses that will come to you. I will not write more tonight, but will again impress upon you the necessity of faith and prayer, and you must not forget that we angels of the Father are with you trying to help you. Good night. With all my love and blessings, I am your brother and friend, Jesus. Other spirits affirm that Jesus wrote. Received by James Paget, April 22, 1917. I will say that we are all here and heard what the Master said. We know that he wrote and that you can rely on what he said. Let doubt leave you, and let love and faith take possession of your soul. May God bless and keep you in his love. Paul, John, James, Luther, Barnabas, Samuel, John Wesley, John, the Baptist. Jesus is bestowing his love and care upon James Paget. Received by James Paget, April 22, 1917. I am here. Luke, the apostle. I will say only a word, for I see how you feel and how important it is that you believe that the Master wrote to you, and how certain it is that you can rely upon what he said. If you only knew how much he is interested in you, and how much love and care he is bestowing upon you, you would not doubt for a moment or lose faith in his promises. And, besides, we are all with you in love and efforts to help you. So, believe and you will not be disappointed. With my love, I will say good night. Your brother in Christ, Luke. Helen Paget affirms that the celestial spirits signed their names. Received by James Paget, April 22, 1917. I am here. Your own true and loving Helen. Mrs. James E. Paget. Well, dear, the messages have been rather unusual tonight. I mean the messages corroborating what the Master said. They show that you must not doubt or lose your faith in what has been written to you, not only tonight, but in all the past. You must also see how interested these spirits are in you and in the work you must do, for otherwise you would never have received such messages. Each of those whose names are subscribed actually wrote, "I know them all, and saw them sign their names." And with each signature was a prayer that God would bless you and give you a great abundance of His love. It is all so wonderful that I am somewhat astonished at this great display of interest in you and their desire that you believe. So, my dear husband, believe with all your soul, and trust in the love of the Master and in His great desire to see you happy and free. I will not write more tonight, although I had intended to write my personal letter, but you are too tired to receive it. But you know how much I love you and how anxious I am to see you happy and filled with the Father's love. I love you and want you to love me. Good night. Your own true and loving, Helen. The only prayer that man need offer to the Father, the prayer for divine love. Received by James Paget, December 2, 1916. I am here. Jesus, I merely want to say a word for the benefit of you and your friend, and that is that I have listened to your conversation tonight and find that it is in accord with the truth and the influence of the Spirit is with you both. Continue in your line of thought and in prayer to the Father, and, also, in your making known to others, whenever the opportunity arises, the importance of seeking for and getting the divine love. As your friend said, the only prayer that is necessary is the prayer for the inflowing of this love. All other forms, or real aspirations of prayer, are secondary, and, of themselves, will not tend to produce this love in the souls of men. Let your prayer be as follows. The prayer for divine love. Our Father, who art in heaven, we recognize that Thou art all holy and loving and merciful, and that we are Thy children, and not the subservient, sinful, and depraved creatures that our false teachers would have us believe. That we are the greatest of Thy creations, and the most wonderful of all Thy handiworks, and the objects of Thy great soul's love and tenderest care. That Thy will is that we become at one with Thee and partake of Thy great love which Thou hast bestowed upon us through Thy mercy and desire that we become, in truth, Thy children through love, and not through the sacrifice and death of any of Thy creatures. We pray that Thou will open up our souls to the inflowing of Thy love, and that then will come Thy Holy Spirit to bring into our souls this, Thy divine love, in great abundance, until our souls shall be transformed into the very essence of Thyself, and that there will come to us faith, such faith as will cause us to realize that we are truly Thy children and one with Thee in very substance, and not in image only. Let us have such faith as will cause us to know that Thou art our Father, and the bestower of every good and perfect gift, and that only we, ourselves, can prevent Thy love changing us from the mortal into the immortal. Let us never cease to realize that Thy love is waiting for each and all of us, and that when we come to Thee in faith and earnest aspiration, Thy love will never be withholden from us. Keep us in the shadow of Thy love every hour and moment of our lives, and help us to overcome all temptations of the flesh and the influence of the powers of the evil ones who so constantly surround us and endeavor to turn our thoughts away from Thee to the pleasures and allurements of this world. We thank Thee for Thy love and the privilege of receiving it, and we believe that Thou art our Father, the loving Father who smiles upon us in our weakness and is always ready to help us and take us to Thy arms of love. We pray thus with all the earnestness and sincere longings of our souls, and, trusting in Thy love, give Thee all the glory and honor and love that our finite souls can give. Amen. This is the only prayer that men need offer to the Father. It is the only one that appeals to the love of the Father. And, with the answer, which will surely come, will come all the blessings that men may need and which the Father sees are for the good of His creatures. I am in very great rapport with you tonight, and see that the Father's love is with you and that your souls are hungry for more. So, my brothers, continue to pray and have faith, and in the end will come a bestowal of the love like unto that which came to the apostles at Pentecost. I will not write more now. In leaving you, I will leave my love and blessings and the assurance that I pray to the Father for your happiness and love. Good night. Your brother and friend, Jesus. Faith and how it can be obtained. Received by James Paget, October 10, 1915. I am here. Jesus, I came tonight to tell you that you are nearer the kingdom than you have been for a long time. If you pray to the Father in more earnestness, you will soon realize the inflowing of the divine love. This will make you free, indeed, and fit you to enjoy that close communion with the Father that will enable you to forget all your worries and disappointments, and to see the great truths with your soul perceptions which I and my followers may endeavor to teach you. I know that, at times, it seems difficult to grasp the full meaning of faith in the Father and His love. But if you will earnestly seek for His love, you will find that there will come to you such a belief in His wonderful love, and in the nearness of His presence, that you will be free from all doubt. You have asked me, what is faith? And I will answer, faith is that which, when possessed in its real and true meaning, makes the aspirations and longings of the soul a real, living existence, and one so certain and palpable that no doubt will arise as to its reality. This faith is not the belief that arises from the mere operation of the mind, but that which comes from the opening of the perceptions of the soul, and which enables its possessor to see God in all His beauty and love. I do not mean that the possessor of this faith will actually see God in form or feature, for he has none such, but his soul perceptions will be in such condition that all the attributes of the Father will appear so plainly to him that they will be as real as anything that he can see with the eyes of the spirit form. Such faith comes only with constant prayer and the reception of the divine love into the soul. No man can be said to have faith who has not this divine love. Of course, faith is a progressive quality, or essence, of the soul, and it increases as possession of this divine love increases. It is not dependent on anything else. Your prayers call from the Father a response that brings with it faith. And with this faith comes a knowledge of the existence of this love in your own soul. Many persons, I know, understand this faith to be a mere belief, but it is greater than belief, and exists, in its true sense, only in the soul. Belief may arise from a conviction of the mind, but faith never can. Its place of being is in the soul. And no one can possess it unless his soul is awakened by the inflowing of this love. So, when we pray to the Father to increase our faith, it is a prayer for the increase of love. Faith is based on the possession of this love. There can be no faith without it because it is impossible for the soul to exercise its function when love is absent from it. Sometime, as you progress in these writings, you will be in a soul condition to understand just what faith is, but, until that time, your faith will be limited by your possession of this love. Well, in my healing of the sick and the blind and the others of earth who needed a cure, when I said, as your faith, so be it unto you, I meant that they must believe that the Father had power to bring about the cure. I did not mean that if their minds merely had the belief that I might cure them that then they would be cured. Belief was not sufficient of itself, faith was required. Faith is not a thing that can be obtained by a mere exercise of the mind, but has to be sought for with the soul perceptions. And, when obtained, it will be enjoyed by the soul perceptions. I am with you in all my love and power. I love you, as I told you, and I desire that you shall become free and happy so that you can do my work. With all my love and blessings, I will say good night. Your brother and friend, Jesus. The reasons given by Jesus as to why he selected Mr. Paget to do the work of receiving the messages. Received by James Paget, October 25, 1918. I am here. Jesus. Well, my dear brother, time is passing, and the necessity for the revealing is very apparent. Men are longing and waiting for that which will satisfy the natural cravings of their souls and which the present religion, called Christianity, has not the qualities in it to satisfy. I am pleased that you are in so much better condition and that your love is again becoming active and awakened and operating upon the qualities of your brain so that a rapport can be made, as recently explained to you by John in his message. And here I desire to impress upon you the necessity and desirability of your understanding thoroughly the truths set forth in that message, and of meditating upon the same and making a personal application of what is written therein. I would like very much to deliver a message dealing with spiritual truth tonight, but do not think that your condition is such as will enable me to take possession of your brain and control the same to the degree that the qualities and truths of my message demand, and, so, I will not attempt to write the message. Instead, I will advise you somewhat upon the way in which you must think and act in order to perfect the condition which you must possess so that the rapport may be made. John has told you to pray often to the Father so that his love may permeate your soul more abundantly. He has also told you to think thoughts of spiritual things until, by such thinking, your brain may become, as it were, infused with these thoughts, thereby receiving those qualities that will make its conditions similar to the conditions of the minds of the spirits who may wish to form a union with your brain and convey the truths through it that are waiting to be delivered. And I confirm what John has written, and, in addition, I will say that your praying must be more frequent so that the soul may be freed from a condition of thoughts that are not spiritual. You need not wait for occasions or opportunities to formally pray, but let your longings for the love ascend to the Father all during the day and evening. A long prayer, or even one formulated into words, is not necessary, as, in order to have the longing, it is not necessary that words should be used to give it form. The longing may be rapid, as unformed thought, and as effective for the Father to catch, as I may say. The longing is quicker than the thought, and the answer to the same will come with as much certainty and love as if you were to put the longing into the most exact form. Prayers of this kind ascend to the Father and are heard and answered. By a law of your relationship to the Father, such prayers affect the qualities of the brain in the way of preparing it for the union with the spiritual thoughts of the spirits who desire to write, as I have stated. Your thoughts of spiritual things or of the truths of the spirit world, as they have already been revealed to you, and especially those which pertain to the love and mercy of the Father and to His will in their passing and operating, also affect the qualities of the brain so as to produce the condition which is so necessary for our rapport. It may be surprising to you that this condition is required in the brain of a human and also in the development of the soul, which really produces the condition, in order that a rapport may be made so that the spiritual truths may be delivered, and also surprising that you have been selected from all the men on earth in whom this condition and development shall be made. And it may be more surprising to know that it is true. There are certain qualities in your constitution, both spiritual and material, that render you susceptible to the influence of our powers and to use by us for the purpose of our design and work. This determines one to choose you for the work in the way in which I and the other high spirits have heretofore used you. And it may seem strange to you that, in all the long ages preceding, I have not found one human with the qualification to fit him for the work. I have used others before, but they have failed to submit their minds and souls and beliefs and forethoughts to our influence and directions, as you have done so far. Many humans have the qualified conditions of spiritual and material makeup to perform our wishes and work, but, as they all have free wills, which we cannot compel, and as circumstances and environments and education and beliefs are elements which affect and determine the possibility of our finding an instrument suitable for our purposes, we have not been able to find a medium who was both willing and qualified to be used for our work. You understand, of course, that you were not selected because of any special goodness or freedom from sin, or because you were more beloved by the Father, or naturally, and I mean according to your course of living by reason of any spiritual condition that you were in. For there were many superior to you in goodness who were more in at-one-ment with the will of the Father and whose love and the results therefrom were more perfect than yours. So, you will realize that you were not selected because of any special spiritual merits you possessed. As you have been told, all things in the spirit world, as well as on earth, are controlled by immutable laws, and all spirits as well as mortals are subject to these laws. The law of rapport and communication must be complied with by spirits, no matter how much elevated, and also by humans, and no spirit, by reason of the possession of any supposed power, can set aside this law. But while spirits do not have this power, yet, they may have such knowledge of conditions that they can discern what qualities in the condition of a human are susceptible to influence and molding by the spirits so that, as a result thereof, the law may be brought into operation. And this will explain to you briefly why I selected you as my medium and mouthpiece. For know this, that I have been endeavoring to influence and mold your mind and beliefs for a long time so that your soul might become developed in such a way that conditions might be formed that would enable us to make a rapport that would permit our controlling your brain to convey these messages of truth. You were naturally a medium and, for ordinary purposes, it was not difficult for the spirits to control and communicate the truths of the spirit world through you, which are not of a nature such as I and others have communicated in reference to the soul spheres and the relationship of God to man in the higher spiritual sense. As you read John's message, you will understand better what I intend to explain at this point. there is another phase to all this, more personal to you, and this is, that while we have been developing you for the purpose of doing our work and helping us to accomplish our mission, your soul, as you, has been developing in its spiritual nature, and you have come in closer union with the Father and have partaken to a large extent of his love. To a degree, you have been transformed into his essence, so that you have become a very different entity from what you were when your development for our purpose commenced. And, as a result, you will derive all the benefits that flow from an experience such as you have had. You are now one of us in the progress towards the fountainhead of the Father's love, and have taken on a part of his immortality. And it depends only upon yourself how rapid your progress shall be towards a complete transformation, such as spirits who are inhabitants of the celestial spheres possess. You need not wait until you come to the spirit world in order to make a rapid progression, although it will be more difficult for you to progress while in the flesh, as you understand. But wonderful progress may be made while in the flesh, and you have been told the secret of this progress. And I will further say that you have a closer association with spirits that are nearer the Father and more possessed of his essence and substance than have any humans of earth at this time. To you, this may seem extravagant and improbable, but I declare to you that it is as true as that I and many spirits who come to you and write are in the celestial spheres of God's immortality. Well, I have written a long time and you are somewhat tired. Remember my advice and pray often and earnestly, if but for a moment, and the condition will be yours, and we will come and continue our revealments. With my love and blessings, I am your brother and friend, Jesus. The Efficacy of Faith in God. Received by James Paget, September 26, 1915. I am here. John, the brother of James and apostle of Jesus. I only want to say that the faith that the preacher spoke of tonight as being possessed by Elijah is the faith that you must try to obtain, and then you will realize that you will be superior to all the worries and troubles that may come to you. This is the kind of faith that overcomes every obstacle and makes you a true child of the Father, and one whom you will never forsake or let go unprovided for. I was with you at the service, and I tell you that the minister made a forcible application of the truths taught by that instance in Elijah's life, as related in the Old Testament. If men would only learn the efficacy of that kind of faith in God, they would become so much happier and possessed of that great peace of which the master spoke. I am telling you this not as a speculation or a theory, but as the result of knowledge and actual experience. The same faith that existed in Elijah was the same faith that existed in the martyr disciples of Jesus, and the same faith that you and all other men may now have. God never changes, although men's conceptions of him do. Yet, no matter what these conceptions may be, the same God rules and lives and, as the preacher said, is present with you. And faith in him is always accompanied by a power that never fails in working out his truths. I, John, tell you this because I want you to obtain that faith, as you will need it in the great work which you have before you, and which can only be done by one whose soul is developed by such faith. I was present tonight at church, because I had been with you a large portion of the day, trying to influence and encourage you with my love and influence. Very soon, you will again commence to receive the messages of the Master, and you will continue to do so until they are completed. And what messages of truth they will be! As the minister said tonight, there will be troublers, but their mission will be similar to that of Elijah. That is, they will show the true God to mortals, and that genuine faith and steadfastness of purpose will bring the salvation of the Lord to mankind. I will not write more tonight, but will say, before I stop, try to get this faith, and you may get it even as Elijah had it, by earnest, persistent prayer, accompanied by belief. The Lord gives faith to him who seeks for it in earnestness and longing desire. I will say further that you are progressing very much in your soul development. And if you will only trust in the Master's promises, very soon the worries that you have will pass away, and you will be free to do the work without being distracted by anything that militates against the exercise of the soul perceptions, which are so necessary in your work. So, my dear brother, I will say good night and God bless you. Your brother in Christ, John. Jesus says his mission in writing these messages is his second coming on earth. Received by James Paget, December 2nd, 1915. I am here. Jesus, I have heard your discussion tonight, and am pleased at the soul understanding of my truths which you and your friend seem to have. I now feel that you are both progressing to that point where you will soon be in a condition to fully understand what my mission is in writing these messages. You have said truly that my new revelation of the truths of the soul is what mankind needs at this time, and what men will be in condition to accept as the real truths of God's love and of his laws. My coming to you is really my second coming on earth, and the result of my coming in this way will satisfy and fulfill all the promises of the scriptures as to my second coming. So, let your belief in this important fact and your faith in me increase until you will have in your soul and mind no doubt as to what my present mission is, or what your work will be in making known to men my real purpose and revealing to them the great truths of the Father. I will not write more tonight, but will say, keep up your courage and believe, and the time will soon come when you will be able to receive my messages in all their fullness and with such rapidity that the spreading of these truths will not be delayed. I am with you and will be a faithful friend and brother, sticking closer to you than any earthly brother. With all my love and blessings, I am your loving brother and friend, Jesus. James was overpowered by Jesus' great presence. Received by James Paget, December 2, 1915. Let me say just one word. I was present and saw the wonders of his power and glory again. I know that he is so much in earnest as to the truths of his mission and of your work that no man can doubt. I cannot write much, for I am so overpowered by his great presence that I can scarcely write. How wonderful that he should come to you in this way and declare to you his great messages of truth and power. If you could only have seen him, you would never again have doubted him or his great mission and your work. I must stop. Your brother in Christ, St. James. The Master showed his great power and glory. Received by James Paget, December 2, 1915. Let me tell you that the Master has just written and, in writing, he again displayed his great power and glory, for he wrote with all the authority of his heavenly powers. I was present and know what I write to be true. I wish that I could write you a longer letter tonight, but it is late and you need rest. Your own true brother in Christ, John, the Apostle. Mr. Paget's grandmother affirms that the Master wrote with such power and force. Received by James Paget, December 2, 1915. I am your grandmother. And Rollins, Celestial Spirit. My dear son, I feel that I must write to you just a line because I want to tell you that the Master wrote, and with such power and force that you must not doubt. He was glorious and, with his great love, there was so much glory that we were all overshadowed for the time by these influences so that we could only listen in adoration. So, believe me when I say that you must believe, for never was a message given with more authority. I know that it is hard for you to conceive what I mean, but you will know someday. Your own loving grandmother, A.N.N. Rollins. Mr. Riddle's affirmation that Jesus showed his glory. Received by James Paget, December 2, 1915. I am here. Your old friend, Riddle. I know it is late, but yet I must say that what has been told to you is true. When we speak of the glory of the Master, you cannot conceive of what is meant. In your mind, think of the dim flame of the candle and the glory of the noonday sun, and then compare the glory of the greatest thing in all the earth with this glory of the Master, and you will see, side by side, the dim candle and the glorious sun. We all know what the divine love of the Father is, but we do not appreciate its greatness or wonder until we occasionally see it displayed in and by Jesus. Go to your prayers in the full belief that this great divine love has been present tonight in amazing abundance, and that you both have had its influence around and in you to a degree. This will cause you to feel, to some extent, the great peace that comes only to the children of light and at-one-ment with the Father. Believe that your experience of this night is true, and that it may be yours frequency when your souls are attuned to the inflowing of the love. I must say good night, and God bless you with all his influence divine. I am your brother in Christ, A. G. Riddle. Celestial Spirit. An apostle of Jesus wishes to add his testimony to the truth of the messages being received from the Master and the celestial spirits. He states that he was the son of Mary and Joseph, and a brother in the flesh of Jesus, and that the New Testament account of his parentage is false. Received by James Paget, October 8, 1915. I am here. James, the Lesser. I come because most of the apostles have written to you, and I want to be in the number who testify that Jesus is the living and true Son of God, and that he has selected you, and also your friend, to do his work. I know that this has been told to you by many spirits, yet I want to add my testimony. For the time may come when you will meet such unbelief and skepticism that you will need all the testimony that you can get. The work that you will have to do will not be an easy one. You will have many antagonists, especially in the churches and among the preachers and rulers of the churches, and you will need all the help that the spirit powers can give you. I am one of the band of celestial spirits that will sustain and help you in your work, and I am so interested that you shall succeed that I want you to know the fact that back of you both is the most wonderful power that has ever been given to mortals to carry out the plans of the higher celestial world. When on earth, I was the brother of Jesus, and called the Lesser to distinguish me from James, the brother of John and the son of Zebedee. I was not the son of any Alphaeus, such as that name is understood in the New Testament, but the son of Mary and Joseph, as was my brother Jesus. Jesus, himself, will one day come and tell you exactly who Alphaeus was. So, have faith, and believe what we write to you, for it is all true. You must not doubt, as you do sometimes, or let your earthly affairs turn your thoughts from the great truths which we come to teach you. So, without writing more, I will say, believe, your brother in Christ, James, the Lesser. What is the reason that mortals will not seek the love of the Father, but, rather, endeavor to believe in the creeds and sacraments of the church to which they belong or are affiliated with? Received by James Paget, June 4, 1917. I am here. John, I desire to say that you are much more in that condition of soul development that enables us to make a rapport with you than you have been, and we are pleased that this is so. For the greater the development you have, the easier it is for us to express our ideas of the higher truths that we so much desire to disclose through you. Well, the subject about which I wish to write is, what is the reason that mortals will not seek the love of the Father, but, rather, endeavor to believe in the creeds and sacraments of the church to which they belong or are affiliated with? Now, it may appear to you that mortals, themselves, could better tell the reason for this preference and better describe their actions in carrying out their preferences. But this supposition would not be true because they do not really know. The knowledge of the truth which they might obtain, and the supposed knowledge of truth which so many of them content themselves with believing that they possess, are two and very different things. And first, they believe that the creeds of their churches contain and disclose the truths as to God and as to mortals' relationship to Him, further, that if they follow these creeds, they will do that which is pleasing to God and in accordance with His will. And, hence, they rest satisfied to abide in such knowledge, and they seek no further to learn the truths of their being and of their salvation. In most particulars, the creeds do not contain the truths of these spiritual matters, because they are based upon error. Consequently, they can have no truth as a superstructure, and, from them, mortals cannot learn the true knowledge of spiritual things. These creeds are man-made and are not based upon the real verities that can never be changed by creeds, nor by any other thing that is the result of man's making. But mortals do not know that these creeds do not disclose the truth to them. And this is one reason why they prefer to follow the teachings of the creeds and believe in them. They have nothing else to which they can resort, except the many statements of truth that the Bible contains. And even though they should resort to these statements, yet, in their condition of mental and soul development, they would not be able to discover the truths as therein disclosed, or to realize any distinction between such truths and what they believe are the truths of their creeds. For long years, generation after generation, these creeds have been accepted and believed in, and proclaimed to be the truths of the respective churches to which mortals may have belonged. And such mortals have seen their parents and grandparents believing and resting in the assurance that the creeds contained the truth. They have seen these relatives live and die apparently happy in their beliefs. And, hence, they have become satisfied to do that which those before them did, not question or search for the truth elsewhere, or even think that it can be found elsewhere. As man is constituted, it may be said that such a position and condition is natural. And we, or you, who know the truth, and also that the creeds do not contain the truth, should not be surprised. Again, mortals prefer their creeds because, in the majority of the instances when a church or denomination has existed for a long time, those who have, as I may say, inherited these beliefs in the creeds never consider for a moment that they should do anything else than give an unquestioning belief to the teachings of their creeds, with the assurance that, in such belief, they are in the truth and are not called upon to doubt or question. And this growing up in this belief, as many do, becomes to them, in many cases, a thing of mere form, having no vitality, and creating in those who possess it no special concern as to whether their belief is well-founded or not. This belief saves them the trouble of exercising their minds to any comprehensive degree. They say, "I am content with the creed of my church and do not desire to be troubled by questioning the same." And, hence, you will see, it is not difficult for them to make the preference, for, in fact, there is no preference, only a condition of mind existing that has in it no room for the exercise of any preference. And, then again, this preference exists because of the social life of the people who believe in the creeds of the churches. For if they do not so believe, it is not permissible for them to become members of the churches. The creed must be subscribed to, no matter what else may be vital or required to be believed in, or declared by the mortal to be believed who desires affiliation. The church is the greatest of social centers in the lives of men, and its influence and power are very great, and reaches further into the economy of social life than unthinking people may realize. So, when the applicant subscribes to the creed and becomes a member of the church, he usually becomes satisfied with his social position, and his thoughts of spiritual truths are no longer plastic but fixed. And, as time goes by, he pays less attention to what the creeds may require of him, but, in a kind of automatic manner, acts upon them and rests satisfied. His position then becomes very comfortable and his mind becomes free from effort by his undoubting acceptance of the doctrines of his church creeds. Of course, there are many exceptions to this condition existing among members of the churches. For while they subscribe to the creeds, yet, their souls are not satisfied, and they go out in longings to the Father for His love. And many possess this love, though intellectually they do not know what it means. But, with the majority, the preference is made because of the reasons that I have stated, and the difficulty will be great to cause an awakening from this satisfaction and feeling that in their beliefs lie the certainty of doing the Father's will and of their own salvation. Now, while all this is true, yet, these mortals do not realize that it is true, just in the sense that I have described it. And the great work that lies before you and us is to cause the truths which you are receiving to be presented to these people in such a way that they will not be satisfied to rest in the security of their old beliefs, but will be persuaded to seek for the truth outside of the teachings of their creeds. And this I can say, that if these people will have such an awakening, and seriously and honestly seek for the truth, they will not hesitate to believe that they have been mistaken in their beliefs, and they will not be satisfied until they learn the truth. I merely thought I would write this because, while it is more of a subject pertaining to the merely living of men on earth, and its hoped for results and consequences, if men's living is changed, the spiritual things will become the things of absorbing interest. These creeds shut out the truth, and men will never be able to find the truth until they shut out from their minds and souls the doctrines of the creeds. I will not write more tonight. So, with my love, I will say good night. Your brother in Christ, John, the Apostle. What will be the religion of the future, and a comprehensive and final one, founded on the truths that James E. Paget is receiving? Received by James Paget, November 6, 1917. I am here. Jesus, I have been with you part of the time as you were reading the different explanations of the various religions and tried to direct your mind so that you might conceive the difference between the things taught in those teachings and what we are revealing to you. Many things that are set forth in those teachings, that are mysteries and the results of speculation, will be revealed to you in their true existence and meaning, so that all defects that arise because of the insufficiency of these teachings will be corrected and supplied. I am glad that you read these sermons, for they demonstrate to you a number of truths that were known to the ancients, but which fall far short of the truth. At those times, there was no source from which our truths could come either in the spirit world or in the mortal world, hence, humans could not become inspired as to the vital truths that we are revealing. The men who appeared as reformers and gave forth the truths that were unknown to their fellow men were inspired by the intelligences of the spirit world. But that inspiration could not be greater or higher than the knowledge of the spirits by whom these men were inspired. And what I say here applies not only to the prophets and teachers of the Old Testament times, but also to those of all times, and among all races, preceding my coming to earth and making known the great truths which were revealed to me by the Father. I noticed that some of these teachers and writers of essays at the great religious gathering attempted to speak of a future, or world, religion, and their claims were divergent, but were based mostly on those foundations that will never support such a religion. They based their concepts almost entirely on the principles of morality, as understood by them. And the churches based their beliefs on the teachings of the New Testament, which, in many and vital particulars, are erroneous, especially the basic one that I am God, the Son, and that my vicarious atonement and sacrifice must be the touchstone of the future great and ultimate religion. Well, as their claims are not true, it is certain that any religion based upon them cannot be true or lasting. There will be a religion of the future, and a comprehensive and final one, and it will be founded upon the truths which you are now receiving, for it will be inclusive of all the other religions, so far as the truths that they contain are concerned, with the addition of the greatest of all truths affecting mortals, the new birth and transformation of the human soul into the divine. When men shall come to make a comparative analysis of these existing religions and the one that I shall make known, there will be very little conflict in the vital principles, and my teachings will only add to the old teachings that which all men can accept. Hence, you see the importance of our working more rapidly in our efforts to disclose and disseminate the truth. I will come in a few nights and deliver another formal message, and others will come also and write to you. Many of the celestial spirits are qualified to teach the truths of the Father, and they are ready and anxious to do so. I will not write more now, but, with my love and blessings, I will say good night. I am with you, as I promised, and will continue to be, your brother and friend, Jesus.